B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Right now, your quarterback room, there's a very familiar face in Brian Hoyer, and then there's Jarrett Stidham. A lot of conversation about what's going on in your evaluation. Is that the quarterback room you're planning on going into the season with?
Yeah, well, that's where we are, and, you never know what's going to happen down the road, but, we feel like we have four good players there. With we added Brian and Jamar to Hoyer and Stidham, right, who we – added Hoyer and had Stidham from last year. So, like to work with all those guys, and we'll see how it goes.
Okay. And in terms of Stidham, what can you tell people about his potential readiness for the season, what you have seen of him that the rest of the world really has not and is wondering a lot about, quite frankly?
Stid worked really hard last year. Was our backup quarterback the entire season. And I know he's working hard in the off season. He's, made a lot of progress in terms of understanding our offense and understanding opponent defenses, like all players do from year one to year two. So I'm sure he'll get out there and be ready to go, be prepared, compete hard, and we'll see where it takes him.
All right, a couple things there. That was Bill last night again with Rich Eisen. They have four good players in the quarterback room, including Maz, Brian, and Jamar.
Those are the lines that irritate the crap out of me. Like, you want to say, well, we're happy with what we got. We'll see how it goes. Blah, blah, blah. Fine. But, four good players, two undrafted guys, one of whom I've watched on video and blows. Like, and again, okay, not that I'm Papa Bear Hallis over here myself, but I'm just telling you that four good players, how are you going to find playing time for them all? Really? I mean, geez, what a problem they have. They're just loaded at quarterback. They had four good players. Will you stop with that?
Okay, that's annoying. He once again calls him Stid, which I think annoys some people as well. But did you hear him slip in at the very beginning of the answer? He did this again. He did this at the draft, too. He said, he was asked about his quarterback room. He says, well, that's where we are. You never know what's going to happen down the road. He slips that in there. Why does he keep doing that?
Oh, just to make people think that they're going to sign Cam Newton. That's not going to happen.
Okay. I'm just wondering. He keeps slipping that in there. Do you think the last shoe is dropped with Andy Dalton? There's no more. He has nothing left up his sleeve. Or is he saying that because there's actually something left up his sleeve?
No, maybe there is something up his sleeve. Maybe there is I don't know the quarterback landscape down to that detail, but are there guys who could be post-June 1 cuts, right? Like, is there, and maybe someone like Alex Smith shakes free. And so if a guy like that pops up, then I think that could change things again. I mean, Alex Smith, we've talked about before in a lot of ways, would be absolutely perfect for them. So, the Patriots, I think, are pretty dialed in as to what people's rosters look like and who the potential guys who could hit the market are, and there will be players cut during training camp. And if someone like Alex Smith shakes free, I think Bill might be want to go out and grab him.
Murray?
No. He's just throwing chum in the water for you boneheads. The quarterback depth chart is set. Jarrett Stidham's the guy. Maybe Hoyer starts a little bit early. They're not bringing in Alex Smith on his one leg or Cam Newton, who's broken and not going to get a real shot in the NFL. This is it. It's Stidham. Get it through your thick skull.
Right. Keep chumming, though, man. Don't keep chumming. Keep giving us something to speculate about and talk about. What else the hell are we going to do?
Look, Mike, let's not forget, they inquired about Kyle Allen, apparently. Right?
Yeah.
So it's not, they can't be so confident in Hoyer and Stidham that they were willing to go out and look at Kyle Allen. So what was that all about?
Okay. I don't discount it. I don't discount it at all that they have their eye on someone that they think still might shake free and still could be another guy in the room. I don't discount it at all, Murray. Because he just keeps slipping that in there, and I don't think that's totally diversionary. I don't. Finally, quickly, we've talked a lot about the last couple days putting Stidham in a position to succeed, and I said if they have a really hard start to their schedule, it would not surprise me one bit that you throw Hoyer to the Wolves and you let Stidham come in to replace Brian Hoyer. So therefore, Stidham is not replacing Brady. He's replacing Hoyer, and that lowers the bar for him and gives him a softer landing and puts him in a better position to succeed. As I look at this schedule, though, I feel like I almost want Stidham to start because I think those three winnable home games, Miami, Vegas, Denver, you know, I want Stidham in those games to take advantage of those games. If you hold him out and you let Hoyer start the year and quote-unquote throw him to the Wolves, the bye week is week six. So that sort of seems like a good little spot there timing-wise. Let Hoyer go out there the first 5 weeks of the year, 2-3, 3-2, you're somewhere like that. That's when you bring in Stidham and you hit the ground running starting there. Except that's where the schedule really gets hard. That's the hard part of their schedule. You get San Francisco, you get Baltimore, you're on the road in those, you know, Buffalo, Jets, Houston weeks. And then you get the LA. So it's like, I don't know if that puts them in the best position to succeed. So it's not so clear cut for me in terms of that. I would not be surprised one bit if they start the year with Brian Hoyer as the starting quarterback week one, and I still don't think that that's an indictment of Jared Stidham.
So, I mean, I lean more towards playing Stidham now, looking at the schedule, and I'll tell you why. Essentially for the reason that you said, which is it's easier at the beginning than it is in the middle. So if you put Hoyer out there at the beginning and he sucks, and then your idea is, well, we're going to bring Stidham in on the white horse, you're asking him to do something impossible without having played a couple of games. At least, if you play Stidham at the start now against some inferior competition, maybe you build some confidence and get a little momentum going into that middle stretch.
Because exactly.
If you're starting them cold in that middle stretch, oh, man, you're feeding them to the Lions.
I just think there's some wins there, you know, early in the season. I think there are. All right, so back to your phones. As promised here on Agenda Free Friday, which is driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Dave in the car. Go ahead, please.
So you Billy B. Trust people are absolutely killing me. Felger, you've had a lot of bad takes before, and I mean a lot of bad takes, but 10-6 with a four-step process. If you need a four-step process to go 10-6, you're doing something wrong. All right, you're going to not get that four-step process just on step one. You're losing to Denver. You're losing to Denver in Gillette. Who's your quarterback? You're saying there's no experience with Drew Locke. There's absolutely Jared Stidham's going to win with Von Miller and Bradley Chubb coming at him. Absolutely no chance. You guys, you lost your defense. The Denver's going to beat you guys. It's
okay,
not even a question.
So that's a bad take. Trying to predict games is stupid. But to say that that you have absolutely no chance against Denver on the road, meaning Denver's traveling here and you have absolutely no chance, that's a bad take.
Yeah, that's silly.
You know, I mean,
they have a lot of offensive weapons, but Drew Locke started, what, 5 games last year? Like, that's, I haven't seen enough to say, like, ooh, that's the guy, and he can come into Gillette, you know, and beat this defense. You still have some studs in that secondary. So, no, that's one I look at and say the Patriots can win.
Toss up if you want. Fine. I mean, they could lose that game. Of course they could lose. They could lose any game this year. It's a different world. But that's, to me, a winnable game at home. And if you're a good team, you win that game. And you take care of business. I think there's a bunch of those on this schedule. The difference is there's no margin for error. You know, with the Brady Patriots, they could punt away a game against a bad team, Detroit. You know, they would have a clunker like that, and you still get away with it because you're going to, you know, still beat the good teams most years. This season, if you don't take care of business in those games, the Denver home games, your port. Because
yeah, those are huge ones.
Because there are games on the schedule that I think they have very little chance at. So you have to win the winnable ones this year. Adam and Lowell. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, guys. I don't think it's Belichick giving like a middle finger like when he makes all these moves. I see it more as hissy fits, like the one he had with Tommy Kern, where Kern brought up his last 3 or 4 drafts, which have sucked, and Belichick had to go 10 years prior to show, no, I've drafted good people. Okay, if you have to go 10 years back, you've lost your argument. And I think he knows in his heart that if Stid's not the guy, and that glorified special teamer that's 25 years old, he drafted the 37th overall, can't play, I think he knows he'll be porked. Thanks, guys.
Okay, we'll see. Let's grab Howard in Amesbury. Hi, Howard.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Mike, first of all, I agree with you on your take, and I'm going to tell you why. Couple things. Give me a minute. So the Patriots, they're built differently this year. The way they drafted a lot of edge players to stop the run. I think they're going to run the ball. So the game that I think is the difference maker is the Seahawks, and I'm going to tell you why they can win that game. The Seahawks have to go over to play Atlanta in the first game, and Atlanta's predicted 9-7. By ESPN, and the Seahawks are 11-5. Then they got to come back and play the Patriots. And I think the Patriots could win that game if the Patriots are a 10-6 team, or like you said, Mike, I think they could win that game.
Okay.
Seahawks 11-5.
Okay, Howard, I don't love them in Seattle. I don't love them. The one reason they can win is because Seattle might have no fans. And that massive home field advantage you get in Seattle with the crowd noise will be gone. That's the only thing that opens the door, that jars the door open just a little bit for the Patriots that week, Maz.
You know why Howard agrees with you? Because he's a Patriots bobo.
Exactly.
That's why Howard agrees with you. So, like, what? All of a sudden, ooh, they got to go to Atlanta. Seattle's got to go to Atlanta.
Big deal.
The Falcons? All of a sudden, now that's a tough trip?
No, please, like,
what the hell are we talking about?
No.
And then it's their home opener. It's like Mike said, the only chance the Pats would have is if they have no fans at CenturyLink. Otherwise, that's a loss.
Mike, the point you made before he called, I don't think can be emphasized enough. Okay, those, you know, quote unquote, borderline games that they have this year. And those are the ones at home that are winnable. Because, I look at San Francisco and Baltimore coming in here, and I'm not telling you that. First of all, any home game is winnable in the NFL. Admittedly, that is under the idea that you have fans in the stands or what have you, but whatever. But those teams are better than the Patriots. Okay, Baltimore and San Francisco are clearly better than the Patriots. But the other six, ooh, those are huge. Those six home games, the three division games, and then Arizona, Denver, the Raiders. Those are going to decide how good their season is.
Got to win them. Got to win them. In the past, you could punt away a game like that, and it wouldn't matter because you'd come back and beat the good teams, and you're still 12 wins and in the bye. This year, if you don't take care of business against those teams, I think you're in deep trouble. Let's grab Carter in Manchester. Go ahead, Carter.
Hey, guys. I appreciate you taking my call. First off, just to change the subject, Felger, I know you don't like the predictions, but I'd like to hear your opinions on what could happen in the AFC Championship and the NFC Championship and what the teams might be like this year.
Oh, that's too much, Carter. Come on, man. No, I haven't done that yet. It was enough for me to come up with the Patriots' path to 10-6, which I thought was a pretty snappy little bit of takery there. I can't tell you who's going to come out. You want to guess? I would not be surprised one bit if Kansas City comes back to earth a little bit. I think the Niners coming back to earth is an almost certainty. I think the Packers are going to totally revert. I think they were a lucky 13-3 last year. I think they're out of it. So here, the final four teams will be all different from last year. How's that for a prediction?
Baltimore's coming back to earth too. I can guarantee you that.
Yes, sir. I would agree with that as well. The final four will be totally different from last year. How's that for a prediction? Meanwhile, in this schedule across the NFL, were there clues about the COVID-19 and them having to contract games or cancel games or postpone games? Or did the NFL just plow ahead as if COVID doesn't exist? COVID. We're the NFL. Screw COVID. Which approach should they take? We'll discuss that right after these words.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Maz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Maz.
A great show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
If the start of the season is delayed, the early weeks could occur after week 17. In other words, week 1 would go to week 18, week 2 to 19, 3 to 20, and so on and so forth. The Super Bowl, I think, Super Bowl 55 holds the key to everything. Now, I want to be very clear. There are no active discussions to push that off. I even spoke to the head of the Super Bowl committee today who said it's not even an option right now. The plan is to have the Super Bowl on Sunday, February 7th. The league is proceeding as if it's business as usual. But there are people around the league who believe that would be the key, that the league could fold that Super Bowl back, push it back, and then take the early part of the season, if any of it has to be missed, and move that back later. Again, hypotheticals, flexibility. The league has built that in wisely, but it's not proceeding as if that will be the plan. It's proceeding as if these games will occur, and that's what's going to happen at this point in time. And so, again, the schedule, it's business as usual, just like the offseason has been, business as usual. We've seen free agency happen without the visits. We've seen the virtual offseason program begin without on-field work. We've seen the draft unfold virtually, and the schedule is ready to unfold in the regular season the way the league wants it to, knowing that it could have to pivot off it, but not thinking right now it will. But if it has to, Super Bowl 55 looms as the key date to watch.
So that shift on the schedule, on the face of it, it really is business as usual. COVID? We're bigger than COVID. We're more important than COVID. This is what the NFL is saying. F COVID. This is the NFL we're talking about. There's no apocalypse going to bring us down. And, you know, and in some respects, it's like they totally ignored it. You know, there was no blocking of non-conference games like we thought that, you know, perhaps there would be, or blocking of non-division games. So if those get eliminated, you just eliminate them in a bulk. There was none of that. And then you look at some of the specific openings, like, you know, California Governor Newsom there, Gavin Newsom, has been one of the most, one of the staunchest guys to say, we're not going to open up. We're not going to have large gatherings. We're going to take this and be very careful. And, you know, he's been one of the staunchest guys. SoFi Stadium, that new L.A. stadium, week one. They play week one there. And between the Rams and the Chargers, that stadium will have four games in weeks 1 to 4. Every single week from weeks 1 to 4, home games in L.A. So not only are they saying we'll be fine by the time we get there, they think they're going to be done in time. Like there's no COVID, there's no pandemic, there's no apocalypse. Stadium will be ready first month. We're playing in L.A. Vegas, Raiders open week two how do you pronounce that? Allegiant Stadium? Mm-hmm. So that, you know, they're playing week two. Yep, but no worries. We'll be finished. New York's an epicenter, Maz. Between the Jets and the Giants, MetLife will host six games between week 1 and 5. Six. They're playing there every week, and sometimes twice in a week over the first 5 weeks of the year. Again, back to California, Santa Clara County. An official in Santa Clara County said earlier this month he did not think that they'd have any sports games until Thanksgiving. So what did the NFL do? Niners open up September 13th, home opener at Levi's Stadium. It's like just either thumbing their nose or, you know, business as usual. So there are a bunch of examples like that.
Oh, totally. Look, I mean, in some ways, what they did makes sense. Okay, that, and Schefter's whole point being, all the flexibility comes in just being able to bump the Super Bowl back, and then however many weeks they lose at the beginning, if that happens, they take those and stick them back on the end. And so I get it. You just move the last game back, which is the Super Bowl, and then you backfill. I mean, that's really essentially what they're doing, so I get it. But the of all those that you just read, the one that blows me away the most is New York. Because I think, see, when you have two teams in a market, isn't one of those teams home every weekend no matter what? Like, I think that stadium is in use all 16 game weeks in New York. They're going to get 8 Jets, 8 Giants. So you're going to have 4 games in 4 weeks. But 5? Five? It's actually, like, so now you're going to have a home game on a Sunday and a home game on a Monday?
Apparently, there's 6 games between week 1 and 5.
Okay, so it's 6 and 5, not 5 and 4. Yeah, same thing. I got that wrong. But same idea. So one of those weeks, that means that they're both playing at home. One's a Sunday game, one's a Monday game. What are they thinking?
Exactly. They're thumbing their nose at the apocalypse. There are, however, a lot of subtle little schedule things that would allow for this thing that you're talking about, Matt. Rescheduling games and stacking them back at the end of the year. For example, every team that you play in week 2, you have the same bye week as. So that's just the way they figured that schedule. So you can all eliminate the same bye weeks and the same. So the same team has the same bye that you do as in that everyone that you play in week 2 has the same bye as you. Also, from what I've seen, I haven't seen anyone write this, but just looking at it, eyeballing it, every team that I've seen, the first 4 games are 2 home, 2 road.
Right.
And they stagger, you know, there's no 2-game home or 2-game road trips. So you either start out the year home, road, or road, home, road, home. And every team has the same thing over the first 4 weeks. All right, so you can just, you know, lop off 2, put them at the end of the year, and you maintain your sort of home-road balance. Also, there are no divisional games scheduled in week 3 or 4. And I can't remember where I cut and pasted this from, but someone reported that if they do have to trim 2 games, that's a natural spot. Every single team in the league in weeks 3 and 4 do not play divisional games. And so those are the 2 that would be wiped out. There's also subtle scheduling things like this. And again, there are marquee matchups that are sprinkled throughout the season that would add drama to any week one were you to postpone games at the beginning. Like, for example, the Chiefs are scheduled to open against the Texans, which is a good match. But also, they play the Ravens in week three. The Chiefs play the Ravens in week three. So if they lop off the first two games, well then, your opening game for the season is not Chiefs-Houston, it's Chiefs-Ravens. Works just as well, right?
Yep, two of the most dynamic young quarterbacks in the league.
If you have to postpone more games, well, in week six, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers play Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. That can be your opening game. So they've spread those out. And as opposed to where I think in traditional years, they sort of they load up in November because that's a sweeps week. That's a TV sweeps week. So if you look at it, there's more marquee matchups earlier in the year sort of sprinkled. So if they had to lop off any number of games at the beginning and they started in week four, or week five, or week six, there's a big game there. And so that's another thing. Furthermore, and finally, the Super Bowl can be pushed back in Tampa. They already have open dates in Tampa stretching back weeks. And that, as Burt Breer was the first that I saw to report it, is a precondition of winning the Super Bowl bid. You have to be able to promise the NFL that not only can you hold the Super Bowl on the first Sunday of February, you can hold it on the second, the third, the fourth, that you have to have this big window with which to play the game in case there are any postponements. So that's another thing that is pretty much guaranteed. So it's not overt, but subtly they did account for COVID. They did.
Yeah, you just got to build some elasticity into that schedule, really. And so, you know, to me, it feels like doing that. That's the right way to do it. It's just that the Super Bowl absolutely has to have flexibility. You kick that one back, and then, you know, you do a little bit of shuffling, and in the interim, you spread out those marquee games so you don't get caught with some suck bag week where your Sunday night game is Jacksonville, Chicago.
All right, while we're on this, how about Tampa Bay's schedule? Anything stand out to you there with Brady?
Well, I mean, the first thing is that, you know, the schedule makers did everybody a favor, at least locally, or there's a Brady fan, because there's no overlapping save for like two games.
Apparently, there's not a overlap with the Patriots game until week 15.
Yeah.
Week 15 is the first time they play in the same window as you do. So, you know, not every game's going to be nationally televised, so you have the ticket or you go somewhere, but every window is going to be separate from the Patriots for the first 14 weeks of the year. That's a great thing for Patriots fans. Tampa has the same number of primetime games as you. Now, that's interesting. The Patriots still earned five primetime games. With Tampa, you would expect, but the Patriots. So I guess Bill Belichick is a draw.
No question. I mean, That's what I took from that, that the TV, the networks believe in Bill. That's what they believe in Bill, and they recognize that Bill is a compelling draw with or without Brady.
So here's what stands out to me with the Buccaneers schedule. Brady's not going to play any cold weather games. No cold weather games. There is a road game at Denver, but it's week four. And again, if this gets, you know, slapped onto the back of the schedule, then this is going to change. But as it stands, they play cold weather. They play Denver at Denver this year. They play at Chicago. They play at New York. Those are three potential cold weather games. They all come before November. The Broncos and the Bears. The Broncos are September 27th. The Bears are October 8th. The Giants' road game is November 2nd. That's the closest they'll get to a cold weather game all season long. So Brady's not going to play in conditions. That's something to consider.
Yeah, feels like someone's being set up to succeed.
Yeah, but he is playing, Maz, four games on short rest. I didn't look at the specific ones, but, you know, a Sunday after a Monday night or a Thursday, blah, blah, blah. He's playing four games on short rest, which is the most of his career, which won't help the old 43-year-old man there. But so there are some league and Tampa schedule thoughts. Back to you, I promise. It's an agenda-free Friday. You can join us at 617-779-0985. Open line if you want to grab it. We'll come right to you after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mass.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment.
I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mass.
You don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub. let's start with the AFC East. The over and unders by Fox Bet tell you it's going to be Buffalo winning the division, tied with New England, then the Jets and Miami. I don't see that. I think Buffalo and the Jets tie for the division lead. Miami has 8-8 written all over it, and New England finishes fourth. Jarrett Stidham is starting with no weapons outside of Julian Edelman, who is a slot receiver. I just don't think this team offensively can keep up with many in their division. Buffalo added Stephon Diggs. I think the Jets went out and did a nice job to upgrade their O-line and their wide receivers, and they already have Le'Veon Bell and two really good tight ends. So I think the Jets are the easiest bet in this division over 6.5. Sam Darnold went 7-6 last year with mono and an atrocious offensive line. So I think it's Buffalo, Jets at the top, Miami close, and New England in fourth, and I feel strongly about it.
Collins, my guy, but I disagree. I think there's a path, a realistic path to 10-6 for the Patriots. I looked at the Bills' schedule, played the win-loss game. I think they're an easy 9-7 team. I can see that easily. Back to your thoughts. Tom in Brighton. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, guys. You know, the schedule is rough. It would have been rough for Brady, too. So my question is, and Mike, I agree with you. You got to beat the teams that you should beat. I mean, you got to beat Denver. You got to beat Miami, which they did not necessarily do last year. So what would be the difference with this schedule with Stidham and Brady? I mean, where is the real difference? Were they going to beat Baltimore with Brady? Were they going to beat the Chiefs with Brady? Probably not.
So, I mean, it's a good point, Tom. How many games did Brady really win you last year? And just apply it to this year. You feel better with Brady here, but you lost all the good teams last year too, Murray. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think Brady won you two games last year, and that's the Buffalo games. And the first one, I mean, he wasn't even that great in. The second one, it was his best game of the year. But if you had a lesser quarterback, they make another mistake. Buffalo probably wins that game in Buffalo. But beyond that, I mean, most of those blowouts, you could have put anyone under center.
I don't disagree with that assessment of it. I would also tell you, though, that the Patriots' defense is worse than it was last year. So, you know, they're like the game at Buffalo that they won, did they lose that this time around if they get the same kind of offensive performance? Because their defense in the first part of the year, mostly because of the schedule, was dominant. And they went 8-0, I think it was, right before they lost the game at Baltimore. And so I just, in a vacuum, the quarterback might not make a lot of difference, but he also didn't make a lot of mistakes.
Well, we're about to find out, which is the beauty of the whole thing, on both ends of it. Ethan on Cape Cod. Go ahead, Ethan.
Give me a second to make my point, guys. So Peyton Manning, his first year, he went 3-13, 28 interceptions. Troy Aikman, 0-11, he started 11 games, 18 interceptions. Drew Brees went 8-8 after 1 year backing up Flutie. And your boy Aaron Rodgers went 6-10 after backing up 5 for 3 years. My point is, we know what Hoyer is. We know what Dalton is. I want Stidham to start all 16 games as long as he's healthy, and I want to see how he does. And to me, that'll be a success. If we know that this is our guy going forward, then that answers a lot of questions. Thank you.
Okay. Big difference, though, man. I mean, all those guys you mentioned were highly touted, you know, can't-miss kind of guys.
High picks.
I mean, yeah. Really.
Higher picks, at the very least.
And those teams were coming from the bottom. I mean, and most of them anyway. And so, I mean, yeah, Peyton Manning took over a wretched Indy team and went 3-13. Everyone knew that meant nothing, okay? Jared Stidham is taking over a team that's won the division, whatever, 14 of the last 16 years or whatever the hell it is, 18 of the last 20. If they hit, you know, if they fall flat on their face, that's different than Peyton Manning going 3-13. I'm sorry, I don't buy your analogy. I don't think it applies.
No, it's not apples to apples. I mean, it really isn't, because, again, you're talking about he's inheriting the greatest coach ever and a framework of a better team. Maybe they weren't a 12-4 team last year in reality, but they weren't, 2-14 either.
We've got Tom and Quincy. Hi, Tom. How you doing, buddy?
How you doing, Belga? Listen, I don't know where you got 10-6 from. You know, the Patriots have been slapping around the AFC now for 20 years, and you're going to get You think you're going to win 10 and you're going to go 10-6. All these teams are going to be psyched up to play the Patriots. That's going to be their Super Bowl. The Patriots will be lucky to be 6-10.
Okay, Tommy, we'll see. We'll see. Call me back when we're in the middle of the year. I gave you the path to 10-6. You want it again? You want the path to 10-6, Maz?
God, no.
Because it's realistic.
Anyway.
The way I present it's realistic.
Exactly. Why ask a question you already know the answer to?
A realistic path to 10-6. You ready?
Go ahead.
Can they go 5-1 in the division?
Unlikely, but can they? Sure.
Yes, they can. They can go 5-1 in the division. Win your home games against those bum. It's still the worst division in football. With three either lousy or totally unproven quarterbacks. And one really lousy coach and two coaches that I think might have a clue, but let's be honest, we really don't know.
Okay, so in your scenario, basically the only game they would probably lose is at Buffalo.
Right, so like my scenario is win your home games against the AFC East and win at freaking Miami and the Jets. And then, you know, but 5-1 in the division, okay? If you can go 5-1, and to me this is the key. That's the number one key and maybe the biggest stretch in my scenario, and I admit it. But if they can go 5-1 in their division, the rest to me is doable. 5-1 in their division, that's five wins. Can you clean up the home games against these West Coast teams coming out here? Oakland, Denver, and Arizona. Can you go 3-0 in those games?
Theoretically, sure.
Yes, yeah. You can.
In theory, yes.
By the way, you'll be favored in all those games. You'll be favored in all those games. I think they've come out with the favorites in all the games right now. You can even look it up. You're probably favored in all three of those games. Clean those up. Okay? That gets you to 8, Murray. Now you're at 8 wins. That L.A. trip. You're at the Chargers. 5 days later, you're at the Rams. Can you split? Can you go out there and split those L.A. games?
Again, theoretically, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the Chargers blow. Sure.
I'm sorry. That's not a reach to say the Pats can go out there and split. That's not a reach. It's not reaching to say that they're going to beat Oakland, Denver, and Arizona at home. They're favored in all those games. They should be. It's not a reach to say they'll split L.A. So now you're at 9. Now you're at 9. Then can you give me one win, out of home San Francisco, coming off your bye, home Baltimore, at Houston? Notice I didn't even mention at Seattle or KC. I'll give those losses and say that's unrealistic. But can you get one more win out of those five games? And I specifically mentioned San Fran out of the bye, Baltimore.
One steal.
Steal one. Can you steal one in a game that you're probably going to be the underdog in? And there's your path to 10 wins, Murray. There it is.
Maybe Houston. Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, do I truly believe this? No, but I see your point.
There's a path. It's a realistic path.
So look, again, I don't dispute when you lay it out like that, of course.
Thank you. You
can come up with any kind of math you want. But I would tell you, I look at Vegas, Denver, Arizona, those three games, and I say, with what amounts to a rookie quarterback and integrating a bunch of young players and a bunch of guys who we don't know really what they are yet in N'Keal Harry, Jacoby Myers, even Isaiah Wynn. Like, can he play a whole season? I don't know. You tell me. I think they lose one of those. So I just say they're not going to go 3-0 in there. I tend to approach it from a glasses half empty perspective.
Yeah, right. What's your path to 4-12? I'm sure you have one.
So I don't think 4-12 because I think that they're probably going to go 3-3 in the division. I think that those three games I just mentioned, they lose one of those. So that puts them at 5-4. But then the rest of those teams are the metal. And I look at it and say, Seattle's a loss. At Kansas City's a loss. San Francisco's a loss. Baltimore's a loss. I'll give you Houston. But that gets them to 8 losses. You know, I mean, to me, best case scenario is like 8-8, maybe 9-7. I just don't see it. So, I don't see it.
I mean, again, just back to the Vegas, Denver, Arizona, those three games. Yeah, I mean, let's just say the teams are equal. They're all toss-ups. What I think skews it in the Patriots' favor is that they're home and not that there's a crowd element. It's not the crowd. It's West Coast to East Coast, 1 p.m. games.
I mean,
take a look at your betting sheet and give me the track record of West Coast to East Coast, 1 p.m. games. I mean, that's like one of the that's one of the surest bets there is on the board every single week.
That's a golden rule of gambling, yeah.
Right? West Coast, East Coast, 1 o'clock game. And all of those, Vegas, Denver, and Arizona. And Denver's less West Coast than the others. But, you know, West Coast to East Coast, they're all 1 o'clock games. Win those games. Win those games. Take care of the division, and you got a shot, I think.
The last time Arizona did that, they came here and won at 1 o'clock.
And how long ago was that, Murray?
2012.
Okay, so now we're going back a decade.
Gostkowski missed a 42-yarder.
Right.
Sure did. Shredded by Kevin Cobb, of all people.
Have the weenie kicker make the kick this time, and you'll be fine. More thoughts in our long commercial-free segment next.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
I think the Bills, in my opinion, are the leaders in the clubhouse as of right now in the AFCs.
There's still a mystique there that needs to be overcome, and so many have been watching The Last Dance on ESPN. That time that you need to bust through the ceiling against a given opponent, like the Bulls against the Pistons, like the Pistons against the Lakers. I mean, there was that time in basketball where, until the Bulls took everything over, you would have that transition where the top dog eventually gets toppled. And it feels like now is the time for the Bills or someone else from that division to topple the Patriots. But, you know, Chris, just like last year, when we were getting ready for the playoff game between the Titans and the Patriots, and I said, I'm not going to bet against the Terminator until the Terminator is fully and completely liquefied. And ultimately, the Terminator was liquefied on that Saturday night. The Terminator still runs the AFC East, and I'm not ready to rule out the Terminator until I see it from one of these other three teams.
Yeah, well, I hear you. I'm certainly not trying to disrespect the New England Patriots right now. I'm not counting them out. And you're right, there is something to that mystique, and there is something to... Hey, just in general, how that organization's run and how they do things on a daily, weekly basis that always sets themselves up in the best position to win games on a Sunday during the fall. So they're still the masters at that.
Florio and Sims on that. Does mystique get him anywhere this season, Mouse?
Without Brady, I'd say no. I wouldn't use the word mystique because I think Brady was a big part of the mystique on the field.
That's my question, right? You know, like Tiger Woods or someone. You know, they walk onto the field and they've won before the game's even begun because they are who they are. Was that all Brady?
No,
A lot of it was Brady. And honestly, I think it's the opposite. I think teams come in here now and they're more confident. At least the players are, because they say, well, they don't got Brady anymore. I think we're going to win now. Now, could that lead to some overconfidence on the other side? Sure. Here's what I think the big thing the Patriots have going for them. With Brady, they were a known commodity. And when I say that, I mean, you knew that they were going to build it around Brady. And not that it was easy to stop, but you knew what they were going to do. You just had to find a way to defend it and stop it. And there were variations along the way. Certainly in 2018, they ran the ball late in the year. But that was a significant departure from what they typically did. Now, I don't know that we know what's coming. I think if you're a team that's coming in here, you say, well, they're probably not going to throw a lot, but what if they do? What if Bill surprises them and trusts Stidham in the early going? I wouldn't rule that out with Bill. I think Bill is really unpredictable, and it opens, in a lot of ways, it opens up more coaching avenues for Bill.
I think the mystique is still real, especially if a young quarterback is coming in here. And again, this is why I think looking at least that first month or the first few months, that first game, welcoming in Miami, if that's Tua, that's the quarterback for the Dolphins, that's a very important game for the Patriots. Looking at those next three games or two out of three, you know, you're at Seattle, at Kansas City, you've got to win that first one. And if Tua is the starting quarterback in there, yeah, I think he comes in and it's like, ooh, it's Patriots, it's Bill Belichick, this defense, Stephon Gilmore still on the other side. So I think that that can get into his head a little bit. And you look at the rest of the schedule, some of the other young quarterbacks you're going up against, like I know you like Kyler Murray as the MVP next year, and I think, you know, he's shown some stuff so far that he could be, you know, one of the next great quarterbacks. But still, his second year, he's got to come in here in November. You get Goff again, and you made him look like the fool that he is in the Super Bowl a few years ago. There's still young quarterbacks that I still think get rattled at that of the Belichick mystique and what he can do and how to trick those guys. So yeah, it's real.
If Bill starts winning with the next guy, if he still racks up these wins against the AFC East with the next guy, it gets even worse. He's even further in their head. Chuck in Ohio on this very topic. Yes, Chuck.
Yeah, I gotta disagree. I think Brady was all the mistake. I mean, players are afraid of other players. Players on the defense are looking over. and worried about Patriots offense and Bill Belichick to the sideline. They're over there looking at Tom Brady, and that's what the mystique was. That's what the fear was, and I think that's totally gone now. And the other thing real quick about the Patriots schedule being on primetime, I think the reasoning is because most of America hates the Patriots, and they want to see them crash and burn. And I think that's why they're on, because I think the NFL knows that. And they think the fans want to see the Patriots crashing.
They put them on five times on primetime, which is the most you can have, because America wants to root against them. Is that what it is, Murray?
No, I don't think it's that. I just think that they're still a draw. Belichick's still a draw. They're one of the marquee franchises in the NFL, even without Tom Brady. I thought it would be three. I was surprised at the five. They were still going to get primetime games. But I don't know. If you're the organization, if you're the Crafts, if you're a fan like that, like going to these games, I think that's still pretty cool. Like, you get five even without Brady. It shows you that the league, at least from a national standpoint, still looks at this team without the greatest player at all time at that, the most important position, and still said, you know, they still put asses in seats, and they're still a draw, and we want them in prime time for five games.
Yeah, I think it's Bill. I mean, I just think that the networks are smart to do this, because they look at it and say, yeah, it's still Belichick. We can't count them out, because if he gets that kid to play, and he could, they'll be good again, and they'll be worth it.
There's your mystique, folks. There's your mystique. I mean, I don't know. I can't speak for an opponent, but I can speak for the league. I can speak for the networks. They still want the Patriots on national TV as much as any team in the league, and they have the worst quarterback room in the league. So what is it? It ain't the snappy new uniforms, I can tell you that.
No, it's the coach. There's no question it's the coach. But the only thing I disagree with you on this, because I said I don't think there's a ton there right now. You said, well, if they win a few games in the division, and I would say, well, that's a cause and effect. If, you know, as of right now, I think it's, you know, it's largely gone without Brady, and I think people are licking their chops. And I go back to what Rex Ryan said, like, okay, now here you go. A lot of teams are ready to play him now. No Brady, here we go. And I think you're going to get a lot of that.
We've got Mike in the truck. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, Felger, I don't know if you've looked into this yet or not, but what kind of dinking around are we going to have to do to watch the Tampa Bay games?
So, well, you can reach into your pocket and get the package. I know that's a lot. You got to get a whole satellite dish and that whole thing. But, I mean, I think that, like, so for example, they have five primetime games, so there's five. Week one, they're in the 4:25 window against New Orleans. That's going to be a nationally televised game. You can book that, okay? There's five. I mean, sorry, there's six. I'm just eyeballing here. I mean, they're going to get some of those. So, Green Bay Tampa is not one of the five primetime games. That's a 4:25. So book that one. There's seven. Let's see. I'm just, again, eyeballing here quickly. Chiefs at Buccaneers is also a 4:25. Book that one. Now you're at eight. That for sure is going to be a national TV window. So there's going to be a bunch of those. I mean, my guess is, if I just had to guess, so I just gave you eight for sure. Eight for sure are going to be here broadcast locally. The five primetime games and then the three 4:25s against Aaron Rodgers, Pat Mahomes, and there was one more that I gave you. Oh, the opener against the Saints. So that's eight. You're going to get a couple more as well. My guess is at least 10 games are going to be here broadcast in Boston, Tom Brady games. At least 10.
Fox would be stupid to not put Brady on in New England.
We've got Christopher L. Gasper standing by. He's now at Channel 5 versus the Globe. I'm not sure if he dropped the L, but we'll find out. He's going to join us in our Town Fair Tire studios right after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.